Episode 2 auf Englisch. Stretch Minds Beyond the Ordinary. Tina Gado und Marc Dechmann im Gespräch mit Maike Ziegler. Sie selbst nennt sich kreative Alchemistin. Die Bestandteile ihres Labors: teilnehmend beobachten, zuhören, 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 Geschichten erzählen, Kreis. Mit kreativen Ritualen, den Creatuals, hilft sie Individuen, sie selbst zu sein und sich in der Gemeinschaft zu verbinden. Das, sagt sie, braucht im Moment am meisten Mut. Um diese herausfordernden Zeiten gestalten zu können, braucht es ein inneres Zerstörungsmoment. Lasst uns lernen zu verlernen, sagt Maike, um in unseren Köpfen wieder Raum zu machen.
Das neue Normal. Was steht jetzt eigentlich an? Unser Digital Unplugged Podcast Staffel 2 mit Marc Dechmann, Roberto Isberna und Tina Gado. Die letzten 6 Monate haben die Welt, Europa, Deutschland, unser Alltagsempfinden mehr verändert als die gesamten letzten 6 Jahre. Warum ist das so? Und vor allem, wo kann uns das hinführen? Wo soll uns das hinführen? Und was brauchen wir dafür?
Herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Das neue Normal. Was steht jetzt an? Heute in Englisch. Mein Name ist Marc Dechmann und ich habe an meiner Seite für dieses Interview meine zauberhafte Kollegin Tina Gado. Und wir haben heute zu Gast eine Person, die uns sehr am Herzen liegt. Maike Ziegler. That's the point of time we return to English. Hello, Maike. Warm welcome. Great to have you on the show.
Hello, Marc. Hello, Tina.
Hello, Maike.
Tina, why did you think of Maike when you thought about this podcast, Das neue Normal? What's on now?
I kind of immediately thought to invite Maike because I always have very deep and intense talks and we always jump from the beginning into relevant ideas and never stop in the superficial line of thinking and talking. It's always a kind of weird perspective she's bringing in, or not perspective, weird thoughts and creative ideas and another way to think and look on life and on the world. And what I very much like, that we can laugh a lot and that she's thinking always things through. So she's never ending from, she's not thinking in line, but more in circles. And that is a very inspiring way, I think, also for our podcast. And you, Marc, you also know Maike. Why did you invite her? Because we invited her both.
Yes, that is easy as well. I can easily align with all what you said, but for me, it's like, it's probably 3 words or 4. It's energy. Because that's what Maike is to me. Like, she brings energy in. Secondly, she has her own specific view. So being an artist, I always feel like, okay, there is a bit of different angle how to look at things. And that gives me a lot of room for new thoughts, for new perspectives. And I think she's crazy enough to really make totally new sketches. So she's easy. If you think about the new normal, the new is cool. With the normal, I'm not so sure, but we will find that out. And I love her way to do this transformation work with the creatures issues that she masters and brings to a new level. So I'm really inspired and interested in what we find with you, Maike, now in this conversation. But if you hear what we are thinking.
Well, first of all, it's wonderful to hear you both say who I am in your own words. What you're saying about me is completely true. It's nice to hear. It's always great to hear this from others. I would call myself a creative alchemist, inventor of creatures, inventor of a certain mindset. And yeah, energy, I think quite surrealistic, I must say. Sometimes people are wondering whether I talk from my dreams or from reality. I like to trigger. I like to provoke a little here and there. I like to inspire and energize people. And everything I give is what I also feel I get back somehow to. So I'm in a flow. I think round. Absolutely. I don't think linear. Things have to make sense to me. And in different levels. So I'm excited to tell you more about me, and I will follow your questions and try to answer them as from the creative alchemist way.
My first question would connect to this creative alchemist. You said you like to provoke, you like to inspire, you like to think round, you like to be an alchemist. When I ask you to think of a moment in your life, maybe also in your early childhood or childhood, has there been one specific moment that you can rely on when you talk about yourself now, some years later, being a creative alchemist, provoking, inspiring? Has there been a moment that was relevant for you?
Beautiful question. There have been several moments.
Just one, please.
Some that I remember myself, but the one I will give you is the one that my mother keeps reminding me of. When I was a little girl, about 3 and a half, living in Australia, it's so hot out there, I would take off my clothes because it was too hot and my mom could follow me by following my clothes on the ground. And I had this little, we had a big garden, and I had this little bush, and I had a little a dog, and I had a mixing table, a small table, and my mom would give me dried spaghettis and beans and things from the kitchen, and I'd take the earth, put the water on, and I was a little witch out there in the forest doing my creative alchemy. It all started back then, and sometimes I think I never really changed. I became sort of an adult, but that child in me is still there.
And do you remember why you have done that in the woods in Australia?
Well, there was not much other to play with. Yeah, I had some toys, but I was already very young, talking to the birds and the trees. And I found inspiration in nature. And that is what I still do today. So it all started back then. And my mother didn't have to entertain me whatsoever. Every day I was out there and creating what I thought was relevant in the world. And I'd listen to whatever people'd say, and I'd sort of twist it around and create something from it.
That is a point I would like to explore for that, to relate with others and to transform. Why is this transformation and this like artistic view on how to do this? What is on that? You need the big picture there. How does this relation to others and this aspect of transformation blend into this?
Transformation for me is daring to look from different perspectives, to step out of your comfort zone, to break with patterns, and to allow yourself to take that step into the unknown. Yeah, that is what my work is about. That is what I am about in my talks with friends, family, everything. I invite people to think and look from different aspects and angles. So I'm all about that. I'm all about that.
You're all about that. I'm hearing you're all about exchange with others. It's not the artist who is sitting in a studio and atelier creating things and then doing exhibitions. So your artistic work is about exchange and talking to people and help people transform themselves. Please explain a bit, how are you doing this? What is the core of this creative transformational work?
Well, first of all, like you say, I don't create just from me. I need a question, or I need a problem or an issue to react upon. So if a person comes to me with a question or a story or an anecdote, I tap into it, and with this person I try to discover this together. And from that, this person starts seeing it differently, and it helps them. But I'm not a coach, I'm not a therapist, I'm a creative person. So I open up perspectives. I open up to look at things. I'm a storyteller in a way. I like to turn people 360 degrees around and look at it from different daylights and different things. The fact what I do today goes far back. I studied graphic design. I was working in a very commercial branding environment in New York at the time of when the dot-coms were big and successful. And I started already sort of looking at how, for me, this should change. How should this be different? How could I create from within, bottom up, but thinking big, trying to. And for a long time, I thought, as people had told me, you're not an artist, you can't be an artist, you didn't study to be an artist. So that was something I was a bit frustrated about. And then the whole artist and designer was not interesting for me anymore. I just tried to follow my own roots and my own path. And that's why today I even say I'm not an artist, I'm not a designer. So what are you then? So I'm a visionaire, maybe. I see things and I try to express them in my work, and it can be a good talk with someone. It can be a ritual, actually a few steps of creating something. It can be a vision that's quite big.
If we hear all this and we come to the idea, what we are exploring is the new normal. What is up now, or what are we up to? What is the thing that resonates most with you currently? If you just see this shift that we have through Corona, everything is like in question. So what is on for you now? Where you feel like, okay, there is elements that have a specific new in it.
Ooh, it's a huge question you're asking. And this morning I was walking my dog and I thought about this podcast and I thought, well, what am I going to say? There's so much to say. There's so much to think about. But I had a voice message moment that I spoke into my phone, a text or my thoughts to my father. And my father is an important person in my life, and so is my mother, the older generation. And afterwards, I listened to my own voice telling this to my father, and I'm quite interested in how I tell him something, and it resonates back, it reflects back on me, and I think, wow, this is a very nice message of a daughter to a father in a situation of Corona where we're all confused. Last night I was out eating with my kids at our Thai restaurant around the corner, and for 1.5 hours they told me all their stories about school and about their friends and about their problems and about how my daughter is sort of splitting up with her best girlfriend, or splitting up, saying she's passed, I'm now looking at other friends, and she's asking me, Mom, what am I doing wrong? And I say, you're not doing anything wrong. Life goes on and you change, and you're finding your own identity through the friends you have around you, and they teach you to look at yourself, and so do your parents. And this is the age as a teenager to reflect and to find your own identity. And there's a whole world out in front of you, and where do you want to go? And this whole Corona thing has been so massive also for these kids. They've been home for more than half a year, including the summer holidays. So where they usually go to school and socialize with their friends, they were at home and talking on phones. And then I work on this big building project in Mühlenbeck on this barn. And I have 4 Polish workers that work with me, and we have become true friends. And they come from a very different environment, very conservative. They're very religious. They voted for the wrong president. They are completely conditioned in their heads, and they work with me, the Krachel alchemist, and they find it fascinating who I am, how I work, that I'm a woman, not sitting home cooking for my kids all day. And for them, it's quite... So this morning, walking the dog, thinking of the older generation, these young kids, teens, and these Polish workers, and I can name another group of people that are important in my life today. They tell me where we are today, and they tell me what is needed mostly today, and they tell me where we should go. It's not me telling them. But in my head, I am trying to get to this idea of what is it? Where do we stand today, and what's next?
Yeah, but that maybe I just rephrase the question. What do you hear of the others? That is today.
And may I continue? I heard before that you said I always need a question or a problem to react upon. So what is then the question or the problem you are hearing from all these groups you were just mentioning and describing?
Well, most of all, the question is, or the scream is, we are stuck. We are stuck in our patterns. We are stuck in where we come from, and we have to move, and we don't know how to move. We need this big machine needs a little oil to sort of start working again, but in what direction, and what is it about? And we have to move on. We should not stand still. And this is the time that I think creative people, especially creative people, should really bring out as many ideas as possible and talk to the world and express their visions and feelings. And because everything is based on structures, politics, everything. So, we're stuck. Let's call it that way.
Yeah. And when you are saying we are now analyzing you or the situation from your perspective as a listener and you feel things and you are listening to these people, and that is this combination that something is growing. And when you're saying you hear that people are stuck, and when you say that we have to move on, this "we have to" sounds in my ears a bit like we don't want to, but we have to. Mm-hmm. Is this what you are hearing? And then how do you react? How could you help people in going on? Or is it another thing you're hearing? Is it the wish of those people you are hearing to go on and they just don't know how? So is there pain, or is it, what do you feel?
Absolutely. For some it's a pain. For some it's actually great to be in the in-between, right? Or the in-between, the space in which everything can still happen. But there's also a lot of fear. I see it as the big question to me. What's next? How do you see it? What would you do? And inside me, there's a huge amount of energy going on and creation. And at different levels, either a talk with a friend or discussions, or for the clients I'm working for today, I really get to express where I think it should go. And these are big ideas. These are absolutely big, big thoughts. And I don't know if I will be able to do it, but I have definitely the energy and the guts to try.
Okay. That's interesting. Where is this energy going to? What is the perspective or the direction you're taking now to get it going?
Well, I can explain this in a very abstract way, because I think very abstract. I can also go into more details.
Maybe you just make both. So if you have an example to explore on, and also like what is the bigger picture, but maybe we start with the example.
Well, maybe it's interesting. At this moment, I'm working for the House of One, which is the House of Frieden. The house of three religions coming together, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And it's been a plan or a project for over 15 years, and the last 10 years it was very serious, and they are sort of stuck because this is a great initiative. I've always stayed away from religion as a singular religion, but three together, or five, or all religions together, I find very fascinating, very interesting, because this is what it is about today. People are lost in meaning. People today are following a fashion label or yoga classes or meditation or to be part of a tribe. People today are so looking for a religion or something to be part of or to believe in or to show the world that this is what you are about. So this is through mankind. We've always been parts of tribes or parts of brands or parts of sports clubs, name it. Because we want to belong to something, we want to be something. So, and religion has fulfilled for many, many well, thousands of years, this hold on, and it's lost. People are lost. And what I'm now trying with them is to create a concept in which these three religions don't have to push their religion at all, but to actually feel in a safe space, the fourth room, safe, and to not call it a religion, but something else. And it's a great project. It's a great task, and I cannot give the concept away.
Maybe you can explore a bit on what is the longing or the drive on German, the Sehnsucht, that is driving the ones to get stuck. So there is a force somehow that I feel that's driving them. How would you call that one?
In the end, it's about connection. People feel lost, too individual, too... I also believe there's this spiral dynamics I once read about, that there's phases in our lives that we're very communal for a while, and then we go into individualism again, and then communal again. And we are getting now into the turquoise zone, where we are looking for a new community forming again. We need each other. So I don't want to go too much into these theories because I don't know enough about it. But it's interesting to see we are looking for connection. And the project I did called Handshake Projects for the 30 years fall of the Berlin Wall, 30 Jahr Mauerfall, was one of these very clear examples that we connected 22,000 people in the streets, people that didn't know each other, strangers, East, West Berliners, or visitors of Berlin from all over the world. And we asked them to talk to each other and to connect and to find common ground. And they were all surprised. In the beginning, people wouldn't do it, or they started slowly, and then they'd get into beautiful conversations, and then they'd give each other the hand. And in the hand, we put a bowl of clay, cement, actually a piece of soft wall, and it makes a hand shape. And an abdruck of two hands, a unique sculpture. And out of about 11,000 of these for one day since the fall of the wall, for every day, one handshake, and we built a wall of unification, the monument to human connection. So this is a good example of a very round story. With the same material we built walls, we now make connection, and we make a paradox wall saying this is created from connection. So a concept like that I also am designing for the House of One, for the opening of the Humboldt Forum, which is about diversity. How can diverse people all come together in this building and learn from one another? It's all about connection. So I design for connection, let's put it that way.
How do these creative rituals help people to go through something, to find the connection you're talking about, to come from the individual to this collective or connection era you were describing?
Well, the bigger communal rituals I'm talking about, like Handshape and for House of One, Table of Hope, another one where everyone individually writes on a piece of wood their hopes, and together of all these pieces of wood, it becomes a table. And at this Table of Hope, we invite people to have dialogue about this hope that's written in the table. So with a ritual, there's always a participative moment where you put your intentions or your grief or your story in it. And then I invite people, suddenly it's a table. Yeah, that's the twist. People did not expect the handshapes to become a wall. They did not expect this piece of wood to become a table. So a ritual is first something that reaches people individually and then brings everyone together. I give workshops in which I teach people how to design their own rituals for the death of their mother or for their weddings, or how to create with the ingredients and the most important essential themes their own ritual to say goodbye to someone or to go through this transformation. it varies. It can go into different directions from at a very personal level, at a communal level. Where I think the community, the aha effect of what I always say, I try to put a little mirror in front of people so they come back to themselves. I hope they have the little dialogue with themselves saying, wow, that is so well thought through. And that is so obvious. That is so, such a simple concept. The famous ritual that I did for this mother who lost her child in a motorbike accident. The poor boy, he was 33, had two young daughters, and his mother came to me and said, I want for his funeral a ritual. And I asked her about him, and this motorbike was everything for him. So I asked her to take the two tires from the motorbike and to tell at the funeral to all the people the story of Malik, her son. And everyone attached a little card to two long chains. And she drew on top of the two tires with chalk the lines where his life stopped and the wheel had stopped turning. And then she put the chains around the tires and she hung them in the trees of his garden for the two girls to swing in and to swing on in life. So from a very negative object to make something positive and to say he's the tree, he's the branches, and the chains are the friends holding the tires and the kids will have to swing on in life. Good and bad moments, but their father is there with them. It's a very simple idea. Everyone knows the tire swings, but yeah, I come up with these ideas to break through the pattern of grief, to break through the pain, to something more positive. I've developed this through my life by just looking and seeing what was needed and what people were asking for. And I sort of found these solutions.
Yeah, and you have this big capacity to see and digest all this. Coming to the bigger frame or the bigger picture, the bigger perspective, if you say that we are stuck now, you design for connection, what then is like going on to get this going? What is the grief we need to go through, and what is the direction we in the big picture need to have? What is your vision on that?
Being stuck is not wrong. I would call it the in-between. We are in the in-betweens. Something is going to happen, or something is already happening. Some people walk away from, some have a huge fear. Look at the world. It's quite a big mess out there. I would say we are obliged to start looking from different perspectives. We are forced to break patterns, like I said. We are absolutely forced to look at nature, at the planet itself. I mean, once mankind falls off the planet, the planet will keep turning and going on. I mean, we are doing this to ourselves. So what I would like to tell people is to start looking at their own responsibility in life more. And of course, we're not all born in the right place on Earth, and we all have, but we can do a lot about it. Not just following, but looking into the mirror and understanding our own talents and our own energy and our own strength. And I really hope in my talks with people and the work I do to teach people to see that. So my main thing is looking from different perspectives. Write down a story. What would the earth try to tell us? What is the earth saying? Or what is the wall saying? Or what are other parts outside of you, not necessarily people, but saying? And listen to your dreams. A lot of people have dreams and they don't listen to their dreams, but I think it's a very, very important thing. And there's a lot of collective group dreaming going on now in this COVID time. I hear a lot of people telling what they dreamt and what that means and how they should interpret it. I think it's very important. But it's a very abstract, what I'm saying.
It's abstract. Let me try maybe to break it a bit down, because what I'm hearing is Mark was asking you about the big picture. So what does it mean for us as a society and for the bigger picture? And what I'm learning is that you, again, talking about the bigger picture, come to the individual person, so that each person is part of the bigger picture and that you always start with them. course. I mean, that is maybe not of course, maybe we lose this perspective often enough. So what I would like to ask you is, you have described how you work in finding a kind of twist, something that helps the individual person to go through the grief or through the pain and find something positive. So if we go now again to the bigger picture, how could we as a community, as a collective entity, as a society, go through this grief and find the positive twist? What would you tell from coming from your experiences of these rituals you're doing with individual people?
Well, I'll share with you what I really think what happened with the Humboldt Forum, the diversity of people. There's a lot of negativity, there's a lot of positivity about this big building. To ask people to share their thinking, their thoughts, their perspectives, and to write this in sand. And the same sand will go all around, and everyone can write what they feel, what they think, where they are at, what they... And all this comes together and will be under huge amounts of heat, be melted. Sand will be melted into glass. And the idea is to make a huge lens that I invite people to look through, because their perspective is in this lens. It's a recipe of all perspectives. And it's like a legend, it's like a fairy tale, but this is actually what I want to try to say to people. Everything you think is okay, but you'll have to look right through it yourself as well.
So you have to go through it, through this pain and grief, and you have to tell it, and you have to write it down somewhere and to exchange on that. Is that what you're saying?
And be proud of it. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay that you think different. I think it's important that we think different. We have to listen to each other's thinking different.
What I'm just thinking, what I'm observing is that it's a huge challenge, and maybe in these transformation times even more, to let people think what they think, to really help each other to share diversity and not going into polarization and to say this is right, this is wrong, this is black, this is white. So how do you bridge this danger of polarization, of division?
It's really all, I think, about dialogue. And it's about listening. I think we have to learn to listen much more to the others and not decide too quickly. I mean, I have this quite big discussion with a good friend of mine who's into all the news and all the things happening in America. And she's so deep into every detail of the media. And she's lost, because it's one big knot in her hair. She doesn't know what to believe anymore. So this whole thing about what is true, what's not, and we're living more and more in a reality show, and the more people are entertained and can laugh about things on that side of the ocean, it's becoming very disgusting. But I also believe we have to go into such extremes to wake up and see where are we heading, what's happening to us. So I would say listening is a very important thing, but also exchanging ideas and thoughts. What I do with my Polish men, if I even went with Wojtek to his Polish church and I listened to him and how they're all so looking up at outside of themselves. I think that's my main point. Everyone is searching the answer outside of themselves. And what I'm trying to say is, look inside. If there's some God, maybe let it be in you, but not, don't blame things outside of you. Don't believe too much in things out of you. It's in the end, it's in us. And if we'd have more trust in ourselves, and some people have to go through a lot of grief and pain or loss to understand much more about themselves, and others. Again, I would say the world through history has always been in balance. It's a hard thing to say for some people or to hear from some, but we are still in balance. One way or another, you can balance things out towards each other. It's becoming more and more extreme. And where I'd like to place myself and what I do is in the middle. And I try to bring people more to the middle and say, look from the middle and look around and then make a choice if you want to go left or right or black or white or young, old. There's a lot to say about the older generations. They did a lot of things great. What our kids are now growing up with, these devices and everything. I'm not sure if the technology world is so great. But then we go into all these areas. But
I think that it's a good moment now to give the question from our last guest to Maike. Maike, our last guest was Albert Schmidt, and he asked you, he didn't know that he would ask you, but now he's asking you, was braucht im Moment am meisten Mut? So what needs most courage right in this moment?
Believe in yourself. I would really say that's the biggest challenge in life, that you are here for a reason on this planet and that you are great in what you are, and try to be in balance with your surroundings, but be you. I would so encourage people to be themselves and to not judge too much about the world around them, whether they are wrong or right, but to look and look again, to listen again. There's always a listening behind that you don't hear if you don't listen.
Yes. Well, that's a big thought. When I'm just sensing into this conversation, I really can feel the tension that is there on the one side with there's so many diversion, so many like difference between people, polarization, the longing for connectedness. On the other hand, my feeling is like this tension is really a peak level. Maybe it's not, but it becomes more relevant and important to see what's next. And I do like the idea, look through this big lens and see that. But how can you stand this tension that is there? How do you deal with this? Because it's also, it weighs on your shoulders. What is your recipe for that one?
I don't see it as tension. I try to honestly, I try to stay away from most of the media. I follow headlines and I know what's going on, but I don't go into any details. I listen to people's opinions, but for me, it's a huge challenge this time. And I also feel now that I've been through my life, from the mixing table in Australia to all the things I've been doing, also working in the commercial world, understanding how these businesses work and just aiming for targets and money in America we have to go into an extreme destruction to rebuild. I hope not in destruction of like war and real destruction, but in our minds, in our psychological destruction, that we become so fed up with. I also really think we must learn to de-learn. All these academics walking around, everyone has read every book, has followed everything, and at some point where our brains cannot handle that anymore. I try to work with the basics of life, like the real basics, for everyone to understand the universal language, and because we don't understand each other anymore, and the differences of academics and analphabetic people, it becomes huge, and power and the leading world is going into directions that. So de-learning, I think it's important to take a few steps back and to
make room,
space in your head to enjoy those little moments of nothingness. It's beautiful.
Which refers to one episode we had with the head of School of Nothing. So nothingness. Maybe at a point of time where we need to come to a focal point, Maike, and thank you for a lot of things. Tina, I would like to briefly interview, what resonates with you with this beautiful talk we had? What is on your mind now?
Well, a lot. What is resonating and where I already think further is this part where you said we have to listen to each other much more. And you could say, well, yes, everybody says that. And of course, we have to listen to each other. The example you gave with your Polish friends and that you were with them in the church and that you really wanted to understand and just were with them, that makes me think of how to really listen to each other differently. And it made me think of giving you a new name, not the creative alchemist, but the creative anthropologist. Because what you are also doing is a bit like the participative observation anthropologists often do. They just go with others and just observe and don't judge, just observe and listen and feel. And that is resonating a lot. I think it's very, very human and also very difficult in our times because we don't have the time to do that. We need to decide, we need to position ourselves immediately, but to take this time to first of all let things resonate by observing. That is what I take home from this talk.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
To me, we had a starting point, which also is an ending point. When you first said, how do you provoke, you had said this sentence, I like to take this step into the unknown. And then you made this journey around, well, we are stuck, or there's something that seemingly attention is increasing. That would be my word. It's Kairos times. Maybe that would be my expression. And you design for a connection, but first you listen to the difference that is there, to the polarization. And there is, you position yourself in the middle on this axis. I hear you like writing greens and sands and making a lens out of that, but it's a multitude of perspectives that then enables you to have maybe a clearer view. So I do like this. And we ended that with the extreme deconstruction in our minds. So first unlearn and make room. And that's for me a new thing to like first let go and then the rest be trustful. There will be something. So, but first it's to let go. And that is a strong resonance that I had. But Mike, if we like, that is our resonance. If you reflect on our talk, does that meet the episode you were in or did you experience a different episode than Tina and myself?
No, absolutely. I think it's very beautifully put together in words. I like what Tina says about the anthropologist. I hear what you say, but I'm also still halfway in my life trying to understand myself, be myself. I'm have to de-learn as well. So, but it's beautiful. Yes, this is what it was about, absolutely, in a few words. It's trying to awaken people to believe in themselves. I think that's really what it's about, too. There's one more word. I think I wrote it down somewhere. But yeah, awakening, triggering, curiosity, and awakening creativity in ourselves of how to move on in this world. That's what I'd love to teach.
So if you listen to yourself summarizing a bit and putting out words, what would be the title then of this episode? How would you put these words or other words into a title that you would like for this episode?
Maybe awakening creativity to move on, or awakening the creativity in ourselves. Or think big from bottom up is also something that I feel I try to do, but what I want to give is an awakening.
Okay. There will be a next guest. So what is the question that you would like him or her to answer?
What would you like to wake up to and what does your new world or the world we are talking about? Where would you want to wake up for every morning? Maybe that's it.
So it's me waking up and what would you like others to wake up? Is that it?
Yes. And maybe for the title, I'm thinking, What I do is I stretch minds beyond the ordinary, and that's maybe even better as a title, to stretch minds beyond the ordinary.
Yes, excellent. Okay, then thanks very much. It's time to say goodbye to all the listeners out there. We had Maike Tiegler as our guest, and it was a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much, Maike. Thank you, Tina, for a wonderful journey again with Maike. And from my perspective, thanks as well to all the ones out there for listening to this episode. Should you like this, just recommend this to your friends and come back soon.
Bye-bye, Maike.
Bye. It was wonderful. Thank you.